In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's good to be with you. So as always, we'd like to start our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many wonderful titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Also, when we pray to Mary, we cry out to Mary in the Hail, Holy Queen, as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's ask Mary, who is the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church, the Mother of each and every one of us, to pray for us and to pray with us that we would love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So let's pray together the prayer that Mary loves most. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, my friend, let's invite to our conversation our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many wonderful titles. Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. Holy Spirit is our Consoler. Holy Spirit is our Counselor. Holy Spirit is our Sanctifier. If that were not enough, the Holy Spirit is also our interior master. St. Paul reminds us. He says that we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light in our intellect. And to set our hearts on fire for love of God and for the salvation of souls. As you pray to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Fidelis, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. Saint Teresa of Avila, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, I promise to pray for you. I'd like to pray for you, especially in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. There's actually no greater prayer in the world than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. It is the prayer par excellence, the greatest prayer in the world. So I'd like to place all of you on the altar in the Mass we'll be celebrating this evening. I'd like to pray for all of you. And these intentions. The first will be that we would all in this season, which we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, that we would strive to be open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. We have to be open to the Holy Spirit. We can say this prayer during the course of the day. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Our sanctification depends upon the Holy Spirit, who's known as the Sanctifier. My next intention will be I'd like to pray for your family members, that those family members of yours that are possibly choosing the wrong path, they're going the wrong way, that they would come back. It's never too late. God's grace is always available to us. We just have to say yes. And my last intention will be I'd like to pray for the dying. This very day, throughout the world, many people will die. Are they prepared? Many of them are probably not prepared. And the most important moment in our life, in our lives, is the moment we die. That will determine for all eternity either our salvation or our condemnation. So let's pray for those who are on their deathbed, those who will be dying during the course of this day, that they would beg for God's mercy and that they would be saved. So those are my intentions, my friends. As always, there's much to be said today in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, we encounter Saint Stephen, the proto-martyr. Then we have Psalm 119 with a responsorial psalm. The antiphon is, Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Then, starting last week, we finished reading John chapter 3, which was the discourse between Jesus and Nicodemus. Fulton Sheen calls him the night man. He's always coming to visit Jesus in the evening. So we finished John chapter 3, then we move into John chapter 6. John chapter 6, we have Jesus multiplying the loaves for the multitude. Jesus walking on the water. Then we have Jesus who, in the synagogue of Capernaum, delivers a very powerful sermon. The sermon is called the Bread of Life Discourse, which he's making a reference to what would happen at the Last Supper, which he speaks about the bread of life, which is the Eucharist. So before moving into these, I'd like to make just a brief comment of the Gospel for yesterday. And it's Bishop Robert Barron calls that they're walking in the wrong direction. They're walking the wrong way. I kind of like that insight he has. They're walking the wrong way. But I've been forming many of you in Ignatian spirituality over the years. Many of you who've done the exercise with me. Now I see it this way. That there is a universal phenomenon, and it's this: all of you, my friends, all of you experience in your lives desolation as well as consolation. In desolation, St. Ignatius, Rule 4 and the Rules for the Sermon, he defines what desolation is. And desolation is when we experience a lack of faith, a lack of hope, and a lack of charity. It's like our spiritual gas tank is almost on empty. We feel sad, discouraged, disoriented. Life doesn't seem to have much meaning. We seem to be walking through life without a goal. Also, we don't seem to be really appreciated, loved, or respected. So, when we experience this sadness within our hearts, it's called the state of desolation, then we are in danger. Because the devil tempts us when we are in this state of desolation, and we should all be aware of that. We're vulnerable. So yesterday we had the famous gospel, with the famous gospel of the Luke chapter 24, the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They're, as Bishop Robert Barron points out, they're walking the wrong way. They're leaving the church in Jerusalem, and they're walking the wrong way. They're heading in the wrong direction. And they're kind of fighting among themselves, the two of them, Cleophas and the unknown. They're debating. They're not agreeing on what happened with Jesus Christ. They are definitely downcast, depressed. They are in a state of desolation. Now, if you look at your own life, you also go through a state of desolation. That's part of being human. And as Father Tim Gallagher points out, he says that we should not be ashamed that we have to go through a state of desolation. That's part of being human. Part of being human. However, we have to know what to do and what not to do in desolation. That's the key concept. What should we do? What should we avoid doing in desolation? Because often we make wrong decisions in desolation, and that could be catastrophic. That could be catastrophic. So these men, they're walking in desolation. They're walking in the wrong direction, and leaving Jerusalem, they're actually, it's symbolic of leaving the church. How many Catholics today have left the church? Many. By droves. But this stranger comes out of nowhere, and he's walking with them. He's walking side by side with them. He asks them, what are they talking about? Now, this stranger is Jesus Christ, but they don't recognize him. Yesterday, if you're with me, I spoke about reasons why we fail to recognize Jesus Christ in our own lives. I gave you about 10 different reasons. Jesus appears, and Mary Magdalene thinks that he's the gardener. The apostles who go fishing, he's the man of the shore. And these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he's a friendly traveling companion. They don't recognize that it's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And how often that happens to us, that we simply don't recognize Christ in our lives. So what does this stranger do? Who's Jesus Christ? He wants to engage them in conversation. He asks them, what are you speaking about? They say, you're the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know what happened to Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, well, what happened? So they plunge into the depths of their hearts, and they bring to the surface in conversation what had happened and their feelings toward it. They're getting it all out, which is Rule 13 for the rules of discernment. When you're in desolation, open up to a spiritual director. No better a spiritual director than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. He's the best spiritual director. But Jesus often uses human channels like priests and spiritual directors to direct us properly on the right path so that we would not choose the wrong path. So these two men, they open up their hearts. To this traveling companion. And he listens to them very attentively. We have to be convinced that when we engage in prayer and we talk to the Lord at any time, in any place, in any circumstance, whenever we open up, we talk to the Lord. The Lord will always listen to us. I repeat. And this is a very important talk, very important topic, because we all go through this. That when we open up, we talk to the Lord. The Lord is very attentive. He's never bored. He doesn't see us as a nuisance. The Lord doesn't say, oh, that's you again. No, he's never going to say that. Never. So they're talking to him. They open up their hearts. They tell him what's bothering them. They're basically saying that they had placed their trust in Jesus Christ, but now that he's been nailed to the nailed to the cross, he's died, it's over. And some of these women say that he's risen from the dead, but they don't believe. They don't believe. So after they have unloaded their problems, what has brought them to desolation, after they've done that, now this stranger, the Lord, he intervenes and he talks to them. He gently rebukes them for their lack of faith. Then he intervenes and talks about himself. And he talks about himself, even though they don't recognize him as Jesus. In the many biblical verses that prophesied the coming of Christ. The Psalms, the major prophets, they all made reference to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll give you one. Isaiah 7:14 says that the virgin shall conceive a child and bring forth a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And one of the best is if you go to Psalm 22, it's a prophecy of the suffering, passion, and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's Psalm 22. This is many, many years before our Lord came. According to tradition, David wrote many of the Psalms, making a prophecy of what would happen to our Lord on Good Friday. So now, Jesus is speaking to them. They know that this man cares for them. And often we fall into desolation because we're not convinced that people really care for us. God always cares for us. God always loves us. God is always our Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ wants to be our best friend at all times and places, especially when we're in desolation. Perhaps some of you are in desolation now, and perhaps after we finish our conversation, you'll go from desolation to consolation, and you share this with someone, and that person will get out of his desolation and move into consolation. Let me tell you a personal anecdote. Remember years ago, it was a Saturday evening, and I found myself in desolation. I'm not sure really the reason. I think I was just tired, exhausted after a long week. And one person said something kind to me, a few kind words to me, that moved me from desolation to consolation for a good 24 hours. My friends, we have to be aware. We have to be aware of the impact of our words, our gestures, that they have on other people. We are not an island unto ourselves. So, as I'm saying, we have to learn how to cope with desolation. Because if we do not cope with desolation and we don't make the right decisions, desolation can wreak havoc within our lives. It can do us great damage. Why do many young people attempt suicide? They're in desolation and they don't see any way out. Any way out. So we see now that now our Lord opens up and Jesus talks to them. When our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ talks to them and talks to us, this can definitely help us to get out of desolation. These are the words of Jesus that can give us great consolation. Come to me, all of you who are weary, and find life burdensome, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. For you will find rest for your souls. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't those words give you consolation? It's taken from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. for you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. St. Peter puts it in these words, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. In desolation, you can turn to Psalm 23, the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. He leads me beside running streams. He gives rest to my soul. Even though I have to walk through the dark valley, I fear no evil because you are with me with your rod and your staff. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I believe that I will be in the house of the Lord for years to come. You ever check out Catholic Exchange, Catholic website? They post one of my articles every week. And if you can go sometime today, you'll see my article on 10 biblical verses on how we can get out of desolation. I repeat, the Catholic Exchange website, which is a branch of Sophia Press, they publish one of my blog articles almost every week. You'll find one. My name, Father Ed Broom, 10 Ways to Cope with Desolation. You might even download that and make a copy of it and read through it. I'm just giving you a few verses right now off the top of my head. So my friends, we're talking about the beautiful gospel for yesterday. How these men, they were walking in the wrong direction. They're walking away from the church. They started by walking without God. They're walking without Jesus at the beginning. So now they're in the listening mode when Jesus explains to them these verses that refers to him. Don't forget, they still don't recognize him. He's still that friendly traveling companion. And as they move on, their journey. They're moving from this state of desolation to consolation. Remember, they start out, they're pretty discouraged when they start out. They're in desolation. And I said earlier, we should not be ashamed of this. This is a universal phenomenon that we all go through at times. But we have to know what to do, excuse me, and what to avoid in desolation. So they arrive at their destination. They really have fallen in love with this stranger. They really appreciate that he was able to listen to them in their desolation. He was able to give them advice. And never in their lives did they ever hear anyone so eloquently, with so much humility, explain the Word of God to them. Never before had they met someone who seemed to know and understand sacred scripture better than this traveling companion. So they arrive at their destination. And it looks as if this stranger has an appointment down the road. Seems like he's got has a very important appointment down the road. And that's a good comment Julia points out, is often we don't seem to recognize Jesus, especially in our desolation. It seems as if Jesus is not present. It's a good point. God is always present. As the poet says, in Him we live and move and have our being. Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. But in desolation, it seems as if he's absent from us. The poet says, seek the Lord with all your heart and you will find Him. Seek the face of the Lord and you will find Him. Yes, at the loss of a loved one like one's mother, we experience usually a certain amount of desolation. That's why we have to turn to the Lord all the more. Either we turn to God or we often turn to a false God. And the nature of a false God is, the nature of an idolatry is we're turning to false gods. There's only one true God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they've arrived at their destination. They're no longer in the state of desolation. And it looks as if this stranger has, as we said, an appointment down the road. But they prevail upon him. And they say, stay with us. Stay with us. Because the sun is going down. Stay with us because the night hours are at hand. Stay with us. My friends, what a beautiful prayer. What a beautiful prayer. You know, whether or not we're in desolation or consolation, that's a beautiful prayer, a beautiful, beautiful prayer that we can say in any time, in any place, and the Lord will listen to us. Stay with us, Lord, because the sun is going down. Stay with us. Stay with us, Lord. Do not abandon us. Stay with us, Lord. And now they're really in consolation, and this stranger accepts their invitation. See how it is that Jesus hears us. He respects our freedom. He loves us. He cares for us. He knows us. He knows our thoughts. He even knows what's going on in the very depths of our hearts. He knows us better than anyone else. And He cares for us as the very apple of His eye. He accepts the invitation. And what happens now is the consolation going to continue They sit down at a table, and the stranger takes some bread. He takes the bread, he blesses the bread, he breaks the bread, and then he gives the bread. You've heard those words before. That's right. He's celebrating the second Mass. Yes. I've said that those words every day for the past 36 years of my life as a priest. He's celebrating Mass for these two forlorn, desolate individuals who are now experiencing great joy. And after he breaks the bread, then they recognize this stranger is truly Jesus Christ in the breaking of the bread. He disappears. So I'd like to point out to you how we can move in our lives from desolation to consolation. And as I say, we all go through desolation at times. We have to be aware of that. We have to name it, claim it, and tame it. You like that? Name it, claim it, and tame it. We shouldn't be walking in the wrong direction, walking away from the church, even though the church has problems. Stay in the church. So, my friends, we want to move out of desolation. We have to talk to Jesus. Talk to him, open up your hearts. As Peter says, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. Then we have to learn to listen to him. So prayer is a two-way street. We listen and then we speak. Then we should love him. Then we have to invite him. Then we have to sit down at the table. We have to sit down at the table and break bread. What is that? You know what it is. He took the bread. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread. And he gave the bread to them. That is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That's right. That is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. My friends, we can get out of desolation. So walk with Jesus, talk to Jesus, listen to Jesus, sit down at the table with Jesus, break bread with Jesus, and finally, to receive Jesus in your heart, which is another way of saying to receive the gospel for today. The gospel for today is the bread of life discourse. And pray that we be authentic like St. Stephen. We be authentic like St. Stephen and the bread of life discourse. If we do that, my friends, we're not going to be walking in the wrong direction. We're going to be walking in the right direction. And we can move from the state of desolation to the state of consolation. And they said, did our hearts not burn within us as he explained the word of God to us? My friends, I'm going to have to apologize because today I have to meet someone in a short time. So share this talk with others, and then we'll continue our conversation tomorrow. And may God bless you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.